Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. And today's topic will be on the current state of healthcare in America. Now, Shelley, the last 5 months have been full of changes, sickness, unrest, financial distress, and hope for the future. Now, today we are going to talk about what's to come for individuals, families, and employers. Coronavirus, COVID-19, the pandemic, first hit the United States in March. Now, Shelley, can you tell us when can we expect the new bill to help endure the disruptions brought on by COVID-19?
Yes, Jim, it has been a very turbulent 5 months. There's been an awful lot that has been going on, lots of changes that we find day to day. And there have already been some bills that have passed to help with coronavirus, some assistance, some subsidy, some unemployment, some help with paying for us when we're off because of being sick or taking care of someone that's sick. But we're very much anticipating a new bill that will help to continue some of these programs. The House passed what they call their HEROES Act, and this was back in May, and the bill was for $3.4 trillion, and it was to help in many areas of the economy and as well as states, some help to Americans. However, the Senate said, we like some of what you have, but we want to do our own, and we want to make sure that we're good stewards of the money that we're spending. So we're going to take our time and look at this before we come up with the right answer. So in early August, they brought their own bill together called the HEALS Act, and it is a spending bill of about $1 trillion. And obviously, it includes a lot of, it does not include a lot of things that the HEROES Act has in it. They worked for about a week. They worked with the new chief of staff, Mark Meadows, who works with President Trump. They tried to blend their two bills. They had some give and take. Bottom line was they couldn't come up with any answers. So they left town, and they do not have any bill. So there's no real hope right now of them getting back together to talk about it. There's been a little bit of a discussion about the House coming back to Washington because they're concerned about what's happening with the United States Postal Service and that they might try again to blend these funding bills together to help with coronavirus. But as of yet, no real date to speak of.
The unemployment subsidy of $600 per week ceased at the end of July. Will we get an extension or some new deal to continue to pay those without work?
Well, again, that's wrapped up in what they couldn't come to some decision on. And when nothing happened in trying to blend the HEROES Act and the HEALS Act together, President Trump said, look, I'm going to issue an order here because I do believe that some Americans need some additional money. So the $600 ended at the end of July, and President Trump said, with this order, I will authorize $300 to come from the federal government, an additional $100 that could be provided by the states if they can afford it. Well, as you can imagine, the states are really running out of what they have, and so a lot of them said, we don't have the $100 to give, but they do want to go forward with the $300. Now, because this wasn't authorized by Congress, President Trump said he's going to take the money from FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. So states have to apply to FEMA to get the money. Some states have already gotten approval to start sending out the $300. Many other states have applied for the dollars, and hopefully they will be able to get it. There's a limited amount of money, and when that is gone, there will be no more unemployment until some kind of a bill is agreed on between the House and the Senate and signed by the president.
Americans received a subsidy check. Now, if the family income met the guidelines, can you tell us if and when there will be another subsidy?
Well, there's a couple of things that are going on right here related to subsidies. First of all, yes, the first bill did include a subsidy of $1,200 for each adult and $500 for children. There are a number of families that did not receive their allotment for their children, and they are able to now work with the government to say, I didn't get the money. Can you please pay it to me now? So they're doing that as we speak. As far as a new subsidy, both the HEROES and the HEALS Act had additional subsidy dollars that would go out to help Americans included in the bills, but because we don't have any agreement yet on blending those two together, there's no date that we can give to say when the subsidies will continue.
President Trump signed some new orders recently when the Senate and the House could not agree on a new coronavirus bill. What do those orders cover?
So we talked about one already, and that one was related to the unemployment. That was $600. The subsidy went down to $300, but that's already in the process. The other three orders that he signed, the first one was for payroll tax forgiveness. It basically said that if you have an income of less than $100,000, you are able to not pay your payroll taxes for a period of time. And that's to help get through this crunch of the coronavirus. The expectation is, however, that you'd have to pay that back. President Trump said that he may go to Congress and ask that that whole payroll tax amount be forgiven for those people because of the coronavirus. So we'll see what happens with that one. The third bill that he signed was about student loans. So if you have a federal student loan, he is allowing interest to be waived and the payments to be waived until the end of 2020, and that will help those students that don't have much of a job and can't make those payments right now. They will be waived until the end of the year, just like the payroll taxes. And then the lastly is to extend the moratorium on evictions and foreclosures. So because of coronavirus, incomes aren't what they should be. Many people aren't able to pay all of their mortgage or their rent. So this will allow people to not be thrown out on the streets, to remain in their homes for an additional period of time while we work on things at the federal level to try to get some more money in people's hands, and hopefully they can pay their rent or pay some of their mortgage.
Some insurance carriers are sending out premium credits to employers for health insurance. What should employers do with this money?
Well, it's something that's very welcome. I think that the employers that are getting these now are like, wow, what's this? Money back from the carrier. But obviously with the coronavirus, we have a lot of bills for people that have been affected by the sickness, by the coronavirus. But on the other hand, many of the rest of us have chosen to stay home and stay as far away as we can from hospitals because the fear of the virus or catching the virus because it's on surfaces, it's on people that have it there. So as a result, many people have not been seeking treatments. They haven't done elective surgeries. They've just been staying away. So carriers are remitting credits back to the employer, and the employer should distribute these in much the same way that they do with their MLR rebates, their medical loss ratio rebates. They can look at the people who were with them before this happened, now that they're all back after the coronavirus did happen, but they can find some equitable way to give those premium credits back to all of the employees who were affected during this time frame.
The Family First Coronavirus Relief Act, the FFCRA, that was passed in March. Now, Shelley, is this act still valid for employers to use?
It is, you know, because it happened 5 months ago, and 5 months seems like a very short period of time, but we know that the immense amount of legislation and rule changes and things that have happened, it's been really hard for employers to keep up with what is still in effect and what can we use. The FFCRA allows employers to pay for sick leave for their employees that are out because of the coronavirus or if they have to go home and take care of a family member. And also it has Emergency Paid Family Medical Leave Act. This goes for all employers. You only need to be employed for 30 days, but the employer can pay the employee to be home and taking care of their children because school was closed, there is no daycare that's available, and the employer, best of all, can get reimbursement for these through the FFCRA. They get this when they file their 941. It is a tax credit. So yes, you can use this through the end of the year because we still have people that are being diagnosed with the coronavirus. We still have employees now that we're going back to school that don't have daycare. Schools are deciding whether they're going to go back to school full time, do a hybrid model, or do all virtual school. So it is definitely causing some concern with parents and what can I do with my children while I maybe am able to be working from home, but I don't have any way to take care of the kids. So yes, FFCRA is in effect through the end of the year. Of course, Congress has the ability to extend it beyond 12/31 of 2020, but right now the program is in effect and it will be in effect through the end of the year.
The continuation of the ACA has been a concern since President Trump came into office. Can you give us an update on the decision that will be heard by the Supreme Court?
Yes, this is something that happened recently, although it's something that has been going on for a couple of years. Republican attorneys general brought a suit that said when President Trump took the individual mandate down to zero, which meant that there was no penalty if you did not prove that you had health insurance when you filed your tax return. The Republican attorneys general and some governors said, well, if that's the case, then the rest of the ACA just isn't valid anymore. It should all fall apart. And this has moved through the courts, and it has now been presented to the Supreme Court. They told us near the end of their last session that they would take up the case, but they would not take it up until this next session, which begins in October. So yesterday we got word that they are going to hear the case on November 10th. That is an interesting date. It's 1 week after the general elections. So we will all go to the polls or do our mail-in ballots by November 3rd. 1 week later, November 10th, the Supreme Court will hear from both sides because the Democratic attorney generals and governors have presented their case as well to keep the ACA around. So the Supreme Court will hear the case. They probably won't make a decision until sometime in the spring. So this whole idea of is the ACA valid is still going to be with us as we go through the election, and it will be talking points definitely for both the candidates, our current President Trump and for Joe Biden as they're running for president.
So we have 75 days until Election Day. What can we expect leading up to November 3rd?
Yes, it's the date is coming very quickly for us here. And as of today, 75 days left. The Democratic National Committee has met, and it's been an interesting 3 days so far that all of the convention has been virtual. So it's been interesting to watch how they're doing it. The Republican National Convention will be next week. It starts August 24th, and it goes through August 27th. And it will be some similar fashion to the way the Democrats held theirs. It will be virtual. We will have some pre-recorded speeches, as well as some that are live talking about what the Republican National Committee wants to do and who they will nominate. We also have presidential debates that will be coming up. We have three of those. The dates are September 29th, October 15th, and October 22nd. We also have a vice presidential debate. So that will be Vice President Mike Pence with Kamala Harris. She is a senator and she is president, or she is Biden's choice for a vice president. So they will be debating on October 7th. And then we have the ongoing concerns about mail-in voting and the safety of mail-in voting. As I mentioned earlier in the call, the talk about the United States Postal Service and not having enough dollars to run everything the way they wanted to, and they were notifying states that possibly they could not return the ballots in a timely fashion. They have now come back from that decision and said, look, we're not going to change anything with the United States Postal Service until we get through the elections. So it's still a big concern, and we will hear some more information about voting you know, it's maybe not safe for everybody to go to the polls in person and to continually expose themselves to the disease. So mail-in voting is much more prominent right now, but there's a lot to look forward to in the next 75 days and then after with the hearing by the Supreme Court. When they did their sessions in the spring, they allowed the public to hear those sessions. So hopefully they will do that come November, and it will be very interesting for many of us who love that kind of thing, nerds like me, to tune into what the lawyers have to say about the ACA case. So a lot going on, Jim. We covered a lot of topics here, but hopefully it was helpful to people who are wondering just where things are in our world today.
Thank you, everyone, for listening in. Also, I would like to make the following disclaimer before we end. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. So again, thank you, Shelley, and we hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, then please contact your account manager or salesperson. So thank you.